like for you to turn with me to the book of Mark, the 9th chapter. I'm excited about the word. I want to talk to you this morning about the church of power. How many of you know that God wants our church to have power over the enemy? God wants us to be able to walk in victory, and we need to be able to overcome the things that this life has offered us by the power of God. We need to be able to believe the word of God in such a manner that we can speak those things that are not as though they were, and believe them and know that God is still God, regardless of what we're going through. So in the 9th chapter of the book of Mark, we're going to begin reading with the 14th verse. And the word of God says, "And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with my disciples?' And then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit.'" Some of your versions will say deaf and dumb spirit, which is the same as a mute spirit. He said, "I brought to..." "I brought to you my son who has a deaf and dumb spirit, a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams at the mouth, and he gnashes his teeth, and he becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." And he answered, and he said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell to the ground, and he wallowed, foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe," say believe with me. He said, if you can believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears in his, "Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said that he was dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him to privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." This kind, say this kind with me, this kind. So we're talking about him casting out this kind of spirit. And he said, "This kind will only come out by prayer and fasting." So that tells me right now, to begin with, I want you to know that the key to the church having power is prayer and fasting. That's the key to the church having power. And the more time that we spend in prayer, the more power we will have. The more time that we fast and give of ourselves, the more power God's going to give us. The key to the whole thing, listen, we got to be committed. And we got to be committed in such a way that we will pray more and fast more and believe God more. And I want to kind of give you just a little background. Jesus had just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration, what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. I've been there, went up on the mountain and seen where Elijah and Moses had come to be with Jesus and Peter, James, and John. Have you noticed that when Jesus was going to be away from the other disciples, it seemed like he always took Peter, James, and John with him. Have you ever noticed that? He said, Peter, James, y'all come with me. You know, and a lot of people think that, boy, they were just so spiritual that Jesus wanted them with him. And it's that, no, that really probably wasn't it. Jesus knew that he left them down there with the rest of them, they'd all get in trouble. So he said, now the rest of you guys are okay. You can stay down here. Peter, James, John, y'all come with me. I want to kind of keep an eye on. But they were up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Moses and Elijah appeared. Now remember, Peter, James, and John were standing right there because the Bible tells us that Peter spoke up and said, it's a good thing that we're here because we can build a tabernacle, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. So it's a good thing that we're here. We know that they were there and that they saw Elijah and Moses. Would you? And Jesus, the Bible tells us, if you go back and read the beginning of that passage of Scripture, you'll see that the Bible tells us that even Jesus' clothes were just brilliantly white and was illuminated, and there was something powerful going on in the Spirit. And when it was so powerful in the Spirit that it began to affect the natural world, the physical world. The spiritual world was so powerful at that point that even to see it, you better get ready for a change, because something is about to happen. God's going to bring something to pass that you've never seen before. And so Peter, James, and John were up on this mountain, and they were coming down from the mountain. Now here is what I would consider one of the most powerful parts of this passage of Scripture, and that is that he was coming down from the mountain. And when he got to the mountain, what did he do? When he got down, those people were around. The man had the son. What kind of spirit did the son have? A deaf and dumb, a mute spirit, a deaf and dumb spirit. This was the fourth messianic miracle. This is the fourth miracle that only Messiah could do. He had already done the other three. This was the fourth, the last one. See, in Judaism, they had reserved four miracles that only Messiah could do. That way, because so many people came claiming to be the Messiah, but they said until someone does all four of these miracles, and Jesus did all four. This was the fourth messianic miracle. And so the Bible teaches us that when he got down, there is that miracle waiting for him to happen. Not only is it a miracle of casting out a demon, a deaf and dumb spirit, but it is the fourth messianic miracle. First of all, he cleansed a leper. That was a messianic. No one had ever done could do that. And heal a man that was born blind. No one had done that. He had already done that. And he had raised Lazarus from the dead after being dead for more than 3 days. So there's only one left. And that one miracle that was left was to cast out a deaf and dumb spirit. Now, the reason it was a messianic miracle was because in that time when the priests or the rabbis began to cast out a demon, this is the way they did it. They called them by name. They'd say, "What is your name?" And when the demon gave them their name, they would call them by name and cast them out. This is the way they did it. And when you got a deaf and dumb spirit, it couldn't speak back. So you don't know the name. So they said only Messiah would be able to do it. Are y'all with me there? This is the way that they knew. This was a messianic, a Messiah miracle. And only that Messiah would be able to do this. Now, nobody else could do it. So this was coming down from this mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration. After they had seen Moses and Elijah communing with Jesus Christ, then they come down from the mountain and they were able to witness him doing the last miracle that would would declare that he is the Messiah. Listen, I want to tell you something, church. We need to recognize the fact that God wants us victorious. And the only way that we're going to be victorious is if we have power over the enemy. You know where our power really comes from? Of course, it comes from our heart, our mind. See, your mind is the heart of the soul. It's what you think. And the Bible tells us what you think is what you speak. And it also tells us that there's death and life in the tongue. That's the reason we need to speak positive things. That's the reason we need to speak positive things over our children. Our children need to hear us speak positive things over them. They need to hear us when we're praying for them. They need to hear us speak positive things. You don't need to speak negative things because there's death and life in the tongue. And you can keep speaking negative things, and finally it'll become negative. But you can speak positive things, and it'll become positive. Can I tell you, that even works in relationships, that works in marriages, that works in friendships. We need to begin to speak. It's what you speak out of your mouth. You got to be able to speak good things. Get that. I would that if God would just give me any one thing to say, and you'd catch it real quick. Firm this morning, that is, be positive. Just change your whole line of thought to be positive. Even take negative things and make something positive out of them. That's when God's going to be able to use you. That's when things are going to happen in your life. That's when you're going to see people change. How many of you know that you cannot change anyone? Listen, if that was so, my mama would have changed me a long time ago. Are you with me? You can't change people. Only God can do that. And you can't say negative things and continue to hound on negative and expect that to do something good. You got to start speaking positive things. Oh, listen, I believe in my heart this morning, this is a message, not just for our church, but for every church. We need to get every negative thought out of our family life and start speaking positive things. Oh, does that mean you don't discipline? No, you do discipline. If you love your children, you discipline. How many of you believe in discipline? Yeah. I remember I once knew a lady that, I won't call her by name because she could be here. And probably is. But she was going to do the reward system. And so everything that their child did good, they would do, give them a reward, and it was a reward system. They didn't discipline. So one day I called up there. It was my daughter-in-law, and she's here. I called up there and I said, "How you doing, good Trey, little bitty guy?" I said, "How is Trey doing?" I could hear him in the background just screaming, and Kevin said, "Well, his mama is beating him down." I said, "Well, I thought we were on the reward system here." He said, "That didn't last long." So I do believe, I said, "Well, y'all might straighten that boy out now." I do believe in discipline. Now, my mother believed in discipline. I'm not going to preach a Mother's Day sermon. My mother believed in discipline. Her problem was she just beat you with anything she could get her hands on. I mean, it was a shoe, it was a broom, and I know that this day and time they'd probably put her in jail or me one, but that's what she did. She really believed in this, and I believe that. But I believe that we can positively do things. You know, I remember I know you've heard this before. I spanked my boy. Never spanked my daughter. She never needed a spanking. Yeah, but I never spanked her, but I did my sons, and I'd say, "Now this is going to hurt me." Anybody ever said that? That's a lie from hell. That's a lie from hell. You know you enjoy every minute of every single solitary second, and it doesn't hurt. It feels good all over. And see, my parents had me convinced they could kill me and get away with it. He was the daddy. Whatever he did was right. And but can I tell you this? I never felt any more secure than I did when I was with my father and my mother. Even though a lot of things was not right, it was right to me. It was good. Listen, it was because how they spoke to me. Oh, yeah, they disciplined me. But when they spoke to me, they spoke positive things to me. Yes, you can do this. I know you can. Don't give up. You can do it. Keep trying. Don't you quit. You can do it. Hang in there. It'll be okay. You're going to make it. Those kind of things are what I remember. And when I began to face things after I'd left home and I began to face things, it was those things that would take me through my trials and my difficulty. It wasn't the spankings I had. That probably kept me out of jail. But, it was those positive things that I heard. So I want to say to you this morning that we need to begin to speak positive in every relationship in our life. Yeah. Just speak positive. Speak positive. Does that mean you have to tell a story? No, just don't tell it. Just begin to speak positive. I know it doesn't look this way, but this is what I'm claiming in the name of Jesus Christ. I know this is going to happen because God has given me that word. I just need to go ahead. You're going to do great. You're going to be good. And we need to begin to use that. I promise you, your life will be so much better. And the people around you will be doing so much better if you will just speak positively. So they're coming down off of the mountain. How many of you know that in church all my life, my church life, I remember talking about and hearing about mountaintop Christians. Anybody familiar with mountaintop Christians? Well, please raise your hand because I'm not getting much of a response. There's 3, 4, 5, thank all of you. Oh, there's some over here too. Raise your hand, baby. You, okay. Because you've heard me say that. All right. What's this? Mountaintop Christians. We've heard about people that do so well when they're on the mountaintop, but when they come down. How many of you know the enemy wants you down? The enemy wants you off the mountain. The enemy wants you down in the valley. That's where he begins to attack you. But they had came down off of the mountain. They were at the top of the mountain. They came down to the mountain. But one of the greatest miracles that Jesus would ever do was waiting at the bottom of the mountain for him. One of the greatest, it was a messianic miracle. It was to prove that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Messiah to come. He is Jesus from Nazareth. He is the one that they've been looking for. And it was waiting on him. Listen, I believe that some of your greatest victories are waiting on you to get to the bottom. Are just waiting on you to get to the bottom of the mountain. And once you get to the bottom of the mountain, then you'll be able to see your victory. It was this kind of power. They had been up on the mountain. They saw Moses and Elijah communing with Jesus. And I can relate so well to Peter. Peter's a cool guy. You know, he really is. He's up there and he's with James and John. And, you know, he's just one of these guys that's going to have to do something even if it's wrong. You know, James outrun him to the tomb. John did, outrun him to the tomb. But guess what? Peter's one went in first. In other words, we're going to do something even if it's wrong. And so they're up on the top and there's Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. And Peter says, oh, it's good that we're here. We can build a tabernacle for y'all. And Jesus probably wanted to slap him down. We are the tabernacle. You are the tabernacle. Oh, so when they come down off of the mountain, is when they met the man that had the son with the deaf and dumb spirit. And it would take more power than they had been able to use in the past to get rid of this spirit. And when asked, and I'm going to go there, but I'm going to come back to where I am. When asked how come they could not cast him out, Jesus was very plain. If he was from Tallahassee, in the year 2019, you know what he'd say? Because they ain't been praying enough. They've eaten too much. They haven't given of themselves, and they haven't been praying enough. That's the reason they can't do it. That's the reason that they can't cast out this kind, because this kind is bigger than what you think it is. You know, it's hard to teach or preach this kind of message without bringing up the seven sons of Sceva. Those guys were Pentecostal. All seven of them. They heard about it. They seen it happen. And they said, let's do it. So they went into casting out the devil business. But thank God they only went into it part time. In the book of Acts, y'all need to go read that story. It's a great story. And so it tells you the heart of God. So they said, we're going to start casting out Jesus. They said, in the name of Jesus, who Paul knows, and who this one knows and that one knows, we command you to come out. Well, Paul we know, but who are you? And guess what the demon did? Jumped on them, tore all their clothes off of them, beat them up, and run them out of the house naked. You know, that's the heart of God. He said, you want to cast out demons? I'll give you a real one to start with. See, they didn't spend enough time in prayer. You know, the most important thing in your life is communication. Anybody ever heard that? Communication? Communication? In a relationship, you got to communicate. And you got to feel free to communicate. And if you can't communicate, don't look at the other person. Look at yourself and say, why am I not communicating? Could it be me? Usually it is. But you can say, you know, you got to be able to communicate. That is the most important thing, is communication. And with your relationship with God, that too is the most important. It's called prayer. It's called communication. It's communing with God. It's talking to the Lord. It's just being part of the family of God. And that's what you and I must realize, is that our whole lives is going to be based around how we communicate with God. The power that you have over the enemy in your life is how you communicate with God. And he was very plain about it. He said, how come they couldn't do it? I brought him to them. They couldn't do it. How come? They just haven't been praying enough. They haven't been praying and fasting enough. Listen, when we begin to talk about power, we must recognize the fact that there's as much power in the church today as there ever has been. Hey, we serve the same God that our forefathers served. You know, Susan and I were talking one day, might have been today, I don't know, but we were talking about power and how the church has changed. And we have the same amount of power as the church in any era has ever had. Our problem is we don't believe like we used to. This way for yes. There's no answer. This way. We don't believe like we used to. I'll tell you what, I would love to be able to get back to that place, to have that childlike faith. Are y'all there? I want to be able to get back to that. If I can find it in the book, I won't doubt it. If I can see it in that book, if God did it for them, I've heard all this stuff about how that you know, miracles and healings and all that. That was for the times of the apostles. That was just for them. Apostles are still in the world today. Are you with me? And so I believe that this for today, this is for you and I. That book is a rhema book, a living book, and it'll go on from now on, and it's for you and I. It is for us, and that's where the power is going to come from. People, we need to recognize that if we will begin to believe like the Word of God tells us to, ask, believing without any doubt, and see if you don't get it. Ask, believing without any doubt, and I'll give it to you. I'm at a place in my spiritual life, that I want to see something happen. I want to see the power of God move in the church. You know, I know this may sound crazy, but I can remember when we used to wheel them in service in wheelchairs, and they'll push that wheelchair out of service. I've seen this, and you may say, I don't believe it. I don't care whether you believe it or not. I mean, I lived it. I know it's factual. I know it's true. And the problem is it's still in the church today. God hasn't lost his power. The church hasn't lost its power. The problem is we're not believing like we used to believe. Listen, we've got to teach our children and our grandchildren. You know, the Bible teaches us about going on to the fifth generation. We need to teach our children this is the kind of power God has. You got a problem, go to God. You got a problem, God can fix it. You just got to believe. We got to believe that God's going to take care of these things. And of course, we must always pray in the will of God. Because God's not going to do your will, but he's going to do his will according to how you believe. But I believe that we're at that place that we serve the same God that our forefathers served. And we got to realize that we have that same power they have. We're just not believing for it. See, what's this? Two kinds of power in the church today. That's heavenly power and earthly power. If you depend on earthly power, you're going to result doing what you could do without God. But we've got to move past that. And we got to tap into that heavenly power. We've got to get to that place that God can use us in miracle working power. God can use us to do things that we never thought we could do. And it's because of his word, not what we do. There's heavenly power and then there's earthly power. See, in Acts 3:7, after Peter's declaration that he had neither silver nor gold, remember Peter and John went up to the synagogue to pray, to the temple to pray, and they met the guy that was begging, the beggar man, and said to him, when he begged, he said, gold and silver have none, but such as I have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. And he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up. Watch this. He spoke it. He says, I don't have money that I can give you, but I got something I can. In the name of Jesus, be healed. I'm paraphrasing now. That's the way I would say it. I wouldn't say in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. I'd say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And so that's what he was saying to him. I don't have money to give you, but I do have something in the name of Jesus. What did this guy believe? It don't matter. Peter did. How many of you know you can be healed on somebody else's faith? And so in the name of Jesus, rise up. And he took you. See, Peter began to speak that. See, heavenly power is a speaking power. It's a speaking power. In Genesis 1:3, the Bible says, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And then in verse 6, God said, let the waters be divided. And they were divided. Verse 9, then God said, let the land appear. And it did appear. Verse 14, then God said, let there be lights in heaven to divide the day from the night. And it was divided. Verse 20, then God said. Verse 24, verse 26, and on. God was a speaking God. That's the heavenly power. We need to get to that place that we can believe God enough that we speak it, those things that are not, as though they were. Declaring it. That God's power is big enough to change it. See, God's not going to do everything our way. And I can assure you of this. I've been in church long enough to know that he's not going to, I can't hardly say that. He is not going to do it the way you've always done it. There's your way, the church way, and God's way. Remember what he told Moses? Strike the rock. Then he said, speak to it. Moses said, we ain't never done that. I'm going to strike it. So he struck it twice. Are y'all there? See, this is speaking. God was trying to move Moses from that place of doing a miracle to that place of speaking a miracle. Is that not good? See, God wants you to be able to speak these things that are not as though they were, and believe them and know that they are, and know that he's God, and he's going to always be God. So he began to speak. God is a speaking God. See, even in the story of creation, when man was connected to it, kind of required an action. In other words, from the beginning, the Bible says that he formed man. Everything else he spoke to, then he formed man. But guess what he did after he formed him? He spoke to him. I know this is not going to be good to somebody, but every time I read it, I think it just gives me such faith in God. You know what he began to speak to him? First thing God began to speak to Adam about? His power. You got dominion. You got dominion over the fish of the field, over the of the sea, over the fowl of the air. You've got dominion over the beasts of the field. I'm giving you power. I won't tell you what kind of power you got. Are y'all there with me? I want you to look at something right now and say, you got power. You just got to believe it. That's your problem. You just got to believe it. You got to begin to confess it. You got to believe it. And if you will confess it and believe it, God will bring it to pass for you. Listen, he just began to tell me, okay, I'm going to form you. And then I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to speak into you. I'm going to speak into you. I'm going to breathe a breath of life into you. I'm going to put a soul in you. And I'm going to breathe life into you. And then I'm going to tell you what you got. Wow. Doesn't that kind of thrill you? God had all these things ready. See, when you look at creation, everything that God spoke into existence, he said, what? It is good. Go back. It is good. Everything he spoke into, it is good. He formed man. It is not good. But there was more to that. He said, it's not good that you're alone. Are you there? So I'm going to make a helpmeet for you. I'm going to make someone that's going to be with you and assist you and be right there beside you. She's not going to be over you and not or under you. She's going to be with you, beside you. She is your helpmeet. She's right there. She's all over. I'm going to take that bone out of your side, Adam. I'm going to take it out of your foot. I'm not going to take it out of your head. She's going to be right there. I'm going to make you someone equal to you. Everything else he had dominion over. The fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the beast of the field. He had dominion over that. He never had dominion over a woman. I didn't mean for that to come out just exactly the way it did. But we do realize that he had a helpmeet, finally. So if this power thing that God has given us, see, we gotta recognize that God gives us power, gives us dominion, gives us power over these things because he wants us to be victorious. See, God's power is demonstrated by speaking, and man's power is demonstrated by actions. So if this power thing's going to work, there has to be a connection between us and God. And if the connection is there, then the power is going to always be there. Look, watch this. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to zap on. I'm not going to stay here. When you need to have the power of God operating in your life, it's not a good time to start praying it up. You got to depend on it being there. It's got to already be there. It's got to be a part of your life. It's got to be a part of you. See, you got to have that connection. And that connection comes from God. It's within you. Listen, you know, I believe that We need to understand that God has already given us the power, and that power that he has given us is within us, and he gave it to us for a reason, that we would have dominion. When the enemy begins to attack us, we got to recognize and remember and believe that we have dominion over him. See, you know, when I was talking about Moses striking that rock. When Moses struck that God didn't give him power to bring water out of a rock. God didn't give him that power. God told him, "I want you to demonstrate my power." God doesn't give us power. He allows us to demonstrate his power. That's what causes. That's the reason he has to have the glory for it. That's what happened to Moses. He didn't give God the glory, and he couldn't enter into the promised land. Couldn't lead the people all the way to. So you got to. It's all about God. It's God's power. It's not my power. It's not your power. Listen. In closing this morning, I want to zip on to the church. God wants the church to have power. God wants us to overcome the enemy, but he wants us to have power. How many of you know that God had given Peter such a demonstration of his power that he could just walk down the street? Come on now. Walk down the street, and if his shadow cast on someone, they'd be healed. Just his shadow. Just his shadow. He didn't have to say anything. Listen, I remember a time, and I love this. When I talk about the church with power, I go back to time because I remember people believed enough. They'd make a fool out of themselves for God. You know, I can remember I'd start to preach on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or Friday night or Sunday night, whenever I was preaching. And, you know, people come in and they'd hand me little pieces of cloth that they'd cut out of handkerchiefs and say, "Would you put this in your pocket and preach?" And then they'd take it and go and pin it on their sick, their loved ones. Listen, I know they did Paul that way. They did Paul. They brought aprons and handkerchiefs and anything else they could bring, and he put it on his clothing, and when he got through preaching, he gave it to them. He took them, and they were healed. Listen, you say, "Well, I don't believe that." That's the reason it's not happening today. We don't believe like we used to believe. I just believe it. God wants us to go back to that place that if we read it, if it's in the Word of God, then let's believe it. And not only let's believe it, let's practice it. Let's practice it. I'm ready to get to something real. I want to see something happen that I hadn't seen before. I've seen it in the past, and I know it's there, and it's in the church, and God has given the church power, and that power rests within you and I, and what we've got to do is start believing it enough to act on it. Stand up with me all over the building. We got to believe in it enough to act on it. The church has power. We got more power than we've ever had. And God wants us to demonstrate his power. We need to know that God has gave himself for a victorious church. But we got too many people saying one thing and doing another. Somebody say hello. It reminds me, I have a grandson that went to the ball game with me. Anybody in here other than me go to the ball game, baseball game? Yeah, there's somebody, yeah, there you go. Y'all got free chicken, didn't you? Yeah. 10 runs, free chicken. They had 11 runs. So anyway, man went to a ball game with me. So we're watching the ball game, and I was reminded of the time, and he's a big boy now. He's in high school, but good-sized boy. And I remember when he was real little, very little, he was in a play at school. And he was they had the animals, and he was supposed to sing the giraffe song. But they didn't have a giraffe costume. So they put him in a tiger costume. And so when it comes his time to sing, he just stood there. And they kept, sing, Dallas, sing. He didn't say nothing. He just went. So finally, they said, what's wrong? He said, you can't sing like a giraffe when you look like a tiger. Listen, don't you see that this is where we are in service today? This is where we are with God right now. We got too many people trying to sing like a giraffe, looking like a tiger. We got to believe what we really believe and begin to speak those things that are not as though they are, and declare that He's God Almighty. He's over heaven and He's over earth, and He's not going to change. He's never changed. Listen, we got to know that we believe in what we really are saying to God, and we are who we say we are. Listen, I believe God's looking for somebody that cannot be shook. Listen, you can shake me, but you can't shake the God in me. You can shake me. You can even change my mind, but you can't change the God that's in me. And God's looking for a church that cannot be shook, that'll stand firm in difficult times, that'll know that He's God, even when we don't understand it and things are not going our way. We'll know that He is God and that He is going to take care of everything. Even when we can't see an end to it, He's got it under control. He's God. He's there. How many of you would say with me this morning, Pastor, I want to get to that place that I cannot be shook. I want to get to that place that I cannot be. I want you to lift up your hand. That's it. Oh my God, all over. I'm there with you. I want to be where I don't care what I have to face, what I have to go through, what comes my way, I will not let it shake me, because I'm standing on solid rock. I'm on solid ground this morning. I know that I may shake and I may doubt, and a lot of things may happen to me. But one thing about it, my trust is in a God that cannot fail. And when this whole world is gone, Jesus Christ is going to still be here. And I believe He's coming again to redeem that church. I want you to do this for me. If you raise your hand, please come. Please come and just stand right here. I'm going to pray one prayer over everybody. That's it. Come. I don't care what your need is. If for some reason, the enemy wants you shook. For some reason, the enemy wants to take it away from you. For some reason, you're going to fail, you think. For some reason, something's going. But God says, you won't be shook, because it's not you. It's me. And as long as I'm in you, circumstance, situation, failures won't shake me. They won't shake me. You know why? I'm bigger than all your failures. I'm bigger than all your circumstances. I'm bigger than the situations in your life. I'm bigger than the attacks of the enemy on your family. I'm bigger than the attack of the enemy in your mind. I'm too big for that. And if I'm too big for it, you're too big for it. I want you to lift up your hands and say, God, I'm too big for it. Father, you see every person up here, and you see those hands up, and those hands are up because they believe you are God. And they believe, Father, every word you said in this book is true. And they believe, Lord, that they will not be shook. They'll not be shook. And they're making a declaration by coming down here and throwing up their hands this morning. They want to see something bigger than they've seen in the past. They want to see the church have the miracles in it that it once had. We want to believe bigger, do bigger, and have bigger. I believe every word in this book. I believe that I can have what this book says I can have. I believe I can do what this book says I can do. I believe that I can go where this book says I can go. I believe that God's going to give me everything He said in this book. and I declare it done. I may not see it with the natural, but I declare it done in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus. Come on, shout to him, church. Shout to him, church. Shout, 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 shout to him. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's great. Hallelujah. Shout to him. Say, the power's mine. The power's mine. I know it's mine. It's given to me by God. I will not let the enemy take it away. I will not let the enemy take it away. You can attack me. You can attack everything I have. But you cannot attack God. He's too big for you. He's too big for you. Turn around and high five somebody for me right now. Say, Happy Mother's Day. God bless you. I want you to go and have a great time this afternoon and allow God to be bigger than everything that you have to face in your life. Go and be happy, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God.
We have cupcakes for the moms. Cupcakes for the moms out in the foyer. Happy Mother's Day, Mom Miller.